Chapter 1. Overture. The Eden Musée on Lower 6th Avenue was an intimately seated wax museum with stage attractions. Variety acts had played there since the late 1800s, and the wax figures cast a spell on audiences, as did one magician who is making his second visit in a dozen years. "He looked like a trained bear deftly moving about the stage," wrote one critic. However, the bear was also a true beacon of magical invention. Other conjurers' reputations were beholden to his creativity. The intimate stage was perfect for the heavyset conjurer, making scarves disappear from his hand and wind up between two soup plates previously shown bare was just a warm-up. The greatest of all living sleight-of-hand conjurers was born Joseph Boiteux in 1847 and performed on stages throughout Europe as the celebrated Boiteux de Colta. Flowers appeared at his fingertips, a somewhat dainty manifestation for this full-bearded Ulysses S. Grant type. Cards rose from a narrow glass, and then after the chosen card floated to his fingertips, an unexpected surprise came in the form of all the cards rushing high into the air as if transformed into a gushing fountain. De Colta was just getting started. Water changed to wine, flagstaffs appeared, and a buttonhole suddenly sprouted a flower. The crowd was impressed, but the final mystery would leave their mouths ajar. Spreading a newspaper on the stage, the French magician placed a simple wooden chair atop the day's papers. His wife entered and sat wearing a floral-patterned silk gown. A large silk sheet was placed over her head and completely covered her body, though her form was clearly visible to the audience. Her hands moved beneath the silk sheet. He spoke a few words of humorous French, and suddenly the mighty De Colta whipped aside the sheet, and his wife was gone. It took the audience a moment to also realize that the silken covering also disappeared. Only the chair sat center stage, empty as it was brought to the stage. For a finale, De Colta claimed his wife had somehow gotten inside a small die, barely the size of a small watermelon. Suddenly, the black die with white spots grew 50 times its size, and his wife stepped from the confines of the peculiar enclosure. Gasps permeated the small hall, followed by thunderous applause. The conjurer was held over, as he had been many times before. De Colta was an inventor of many feats still seen in the performances of great magicians. Balls that multiply between the fingers and a small cage holding a single canary that dematerializes were De Colta hallmarks. Along with such later renowned mystery workers as Hertz, Keller, and Blackstone, De Colta influenced several generations of magicians and audiences. This eccentric conjurer who, when not on the stage, habitually wore many pairs of pants and jackets at the same time, did not know that this night in the Eden Musée that it would be the last performance of his career in New York. And he would never imagine he would also set in motion a career that would also influence magicians the world over for the next 60 years. That evening, in January 1903, as the French master magician made things disappear and received cheers, a little boy of 5 sat cradled in his mother's arms. He had survived rheumatic fever, and the mother was trying to distract her son from the recent abandonment of his father. Conjuring has always served as a respite from emotional pain, and De Colta's performance created a deep obsession in the young Johnny Mulholland.